The summer job was once considered part of every American teen's life. In the summer of 1978, for example, 60% of teens were working or looking for work. But last summer, only 35% of teens were employed or looking for a job. Derek Thompson is a senior editor at The Atlantic magazine. He recently reported on why teens have stopped getting summer jobs. Derek, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
I think when people hear that so many fewer teens are getting those summer jobs, they write it off as teens being lazy, but you say right away in your article that's not the case. Why not?
I agree. I think they do kind of default to the idea that if kids aren't working, then they must be lazy and they're just sitting on their couches and playing Xbox or PlayStation 4 or something. But the data suggests something slightly different, or actually rather dramatically different. It finds that the number of teenagers who are enrolled in summer school has actually quintupled since 1985, increased by about a factor of five. It finds that teens are much more likely to graduate from high school with more degrees, with more classes under their belt in calculus and science and foreign languages. It also happens to be the case that the exact percentage point decline in teenagers who are working over the summer, which, as you helpfully pointed out, is about 25% percentage points, down from about 60 to about 35, that is exactly the percentage increase in the number of teenagers who are going off to college. So, yes, you're right. At first, it seems like these teenagers are just being lazy. They're not working. They're choosing to hang out and do nothing over the summer, when in fact, they're doing the exact opposite. They're investing in their future. They're more likely to take classes, graduate high school on time, and enroll in college.
So is that a necessity now to do that extra academic work in the summers, maybe, you know, at a local community college or online or something? Is that now a requirement to graduate well from high school and to go on to a good college education?
I think you're seeing a few things. First, you're seeing an arms race when it comes to buffing up one's portfolio for college. Now, the vast majority of people who apply to college do not apply to highly selective schools. They apply to places that accept more than half of their applicants, public schools and community colleges and the like. So another thing that's happening is that I think it's possible that some teenagers are feeling pushed out of certain jobs. And there you have to look to the broader labor market. And it turns out that people over the age of 55 are much more likely to work than they used to. And the U.S. economy has added a lot of low-skill immigrants since the 1980s, when this trend really started. So if you look at the kind of jobs that teenagers used to have over the summer in retail, office administration, maybe scooping ice cream, these jobs still exist. They're just much more likely to be done by older native-born Americans or by younger low-skill immigrants.
So as we're looking at the U.S. labor force right now, there are many thousands of baby boomers who either recently retired or are about to retire. Some of those are maybe coming back into the workforce to take some of those jobs. They're not quite ready to be completely retired for a variety of reasons. But is there maybe going to be another shift as more and more of those baby boomers actually stop working for good?
That's a good question. You're absolutely right. It's possible that as that generation retires, that these jobs will open up, and maybe, you know, teenagers will want to take them. I think another question that's interesting to ask is, you know, what happens during an economy like ours right now, today, where you have extremely low unemployment, a bit of wage pressure at the bottom, lots of summer positions that both anecdotally I've heard are going unfilled throughout the country. Will there be a pressure for these employers to raise wages a bit and try to hire teenagers? That's a possibility. We might be speaking, you and me, right now, at the very bottom of this cycle, of this teenage summer job cycle. 10 years from now, 20 years from now, economists and journalists might say, "Oh well, it fell, you know, about 40% between the late 1970s and say 2017, and then it started to come up a bit." I've seen lots of evidence in this economy that we might be at the bottom of that cycle, but we'll just have to wait and see to know for sure.
So, Derek, we talked about the students, the teens who, instead of working summer jobs, are doing academic programs, trying to get a leg up in that way. But there's also, in your article, you document that there has been a big rise in unpaid internships. What kind of impact is that having?
Right. This is so important. The government does not have great data on unpaid internships, but there is private sector data which has found an enormous rise in unpaid internships in the last few decades. Why would this matter for the purpose of summer jobs? Well, unpaid internships are summer jobs, but they're not paid. And so the government does not count it as working. And so this is a bit of a trick that's being played on teenagers, you might say, because the teenagers might be working today in an unpaid position just as they were working 20, 30 years ago in a paid position, but it no longer looks like they're working when you look at the government data, which is what most of us are going by. So, you know, we can have an entire segment about the ethics and morality of unpaid internships. I think that's a complicated issue, too. What's not complicated is the fact that unpaid internships are much more common. Teenagers are doing them, but it looks, from the government statistical standpoint, like these teenagers are not working because they are not accepting a wage.
We're talking with Derek Thompson right now. He's a senior editor at The Atlantic magazine, and he recently wrote about why teens have stopped getting summer jobs. And Derek, you use a term that I think is important to bring up at this point, which the acronym is NEET, neither in education, employment, or training. So we've talked about kids who are doing the academic programs, we've talked about the kids who are still working, and we've talked about these unpaid internships. Who are the kids who don't fall into any of those categories?
Right, NEETs, right, and that's N-E-E-T, neither in education, employment, or training. This is a really important stat to look at. If you are trying to answer the question, are teenagers lazier now than they used to be? Are they more likely to be idle, doing nothing? That would be captured in this NEET figure. And according to the OECD, which tracks NEETs, the answer is no, they are not lazier. The share of young people who are NEETs, neither in education, employment, or training, has not really budged since the 1990s, even though in this period the number of people working during the summer has declined by a lot. And that suggests rather strongly the first point that I made in the segment, which is that these teenagers are not simply doing nothing. They are trading a job for a class. They are less likely to work at the ice cream shop, but they are more likely to take that ethics or calculus class over the summer.
We're talking with Derek Thompson about why teens have stopped getting summer jobs, and we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Do you see generational differences when it comes to teens getting summer jobs? If you're close to a teen, what are they doing over the summer? And if you had a summer job as a teen, what did you learn from it? Call now at 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Central Time Facebook page. And we'll pick up this conversation in just a bit here on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Judith Sears Poisson. We're continuing our discussion now with Derek Thompson from The Atlantic about his piece on why teens aren't getting summer jobs anymore. And we're taking your calls at 800-642-1234. Why do you think teens have stopped getting summer jobs? Are they there and they just don't want them, or has that dried up for young people today? What did you learn from your summer job as a teenager? And if you're a teen, call in and tell us what you think about getting a summer job. What are you doing now that school is out? Call now at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. And I just wanted to share one thing, Derek, before we get to some of our callers. You know, the difference between when I was a teen in the 70s, early 80s, and my daughter, who's in her early 20s now, is that there were a lot of summer jobs. It felt like you could almost choose what kind of summer job you wanted, what kind of hours or how many hours you wanted. When she was in high school, really the only way to have a summer job was if you worked that job all year round in high school. You could then ramp up your hours in the summer, but you had to have your foot in the door there already in order to have work in the summer.
Yeah, no, that's a fair point. I think it's fair to say that for a certain kind of teenager, It is much, much more competitive in terms of both academics and work experience. They are hustling to finish classes, AP classes, that they are ready to start college on the right foot. They're also trying to get a bunch of unpaid internships under their belt that adds a certain prestige. It really is an arms race. And as a result, I think you have a lot of people who used to take summer positions, used to take summer jobs, no longer doing so. Another thing that's important to point out is that historically, it has been both richer families and white families that are more likely to have their kids do summer positions. In fact, if you go back to the 1970s and you look at the participation rate of black teenagers during the regular year and during the summer, what you find actually is that there isn't much of a bump during the summer in terms of their labor force participation. This suggests that when you look at what many people might consider sort of the heyday of the summer job in the 1960s, 70s, 1980s, it really was much more of a white teenager phenomenon than a black teenager phenomenon. And I think that's just an important piece of information in the discussion about, American nostalgia for the teenage job.
Let's go to the phones now, and Caroline is on the phone from Appleton. Hi, Caroline.
Hi.
Hi. What would you like to share?
Well, I'm a 16-year-old student, and I do not have a summer job, and my parents don't require me to have one. And that reason is because the way I spend my summer time, I believe, is investing towards my future, and particularly because with the way that college tuition has increased so exponentially, getting a summer job really can't make a dent in your tuition. The best it can do is maybe pay for your living expenses for a year or two. But if you are working towards getting your AP classes so you can graduate early, a lot of times I know that I will take summer classes so that I can free up my schedule for more classes during the year. Particularly, I engage myself in a lot of extracurriculars during the summer so that I can get into a college with a good endowment or apply for scholarships that can actually pay off more monetarily in the future than getting a summer job.
Well, thank you very much for sharing that, Caroline. And Derek, it sounds like Caroline is being very strategic about how she's spending her summers and really looking at, kind of the cost-benefit analysis.
Exactly. That's exactly the word I was going to use. This is a great example of a cost-benefit analysis, that it's essentially saying if the summer job is going to pay something close to a minimum wage and college itself is expensive and the college premium, that which I expect to earn after I graduate from college, thanks to my education, is a higher wage, then why waste my time, delivering pizza, scooping ice cream, for practically nothing for a few months during the summer? It's barely going to provide me enough money to buy, a dress, a couple pairs of, shirts, pants, depending on the gender of the student. And then that's basically it, versus, being much better prepared for college or maybe even getting into a better school. So I think that this cost-benefit analysis is exactly right, and it's something that a lot of teenagers are making, realizing how low the minimum wage is and how valuable a college education is. It just makes more sense for a lot of them to not waste time with a summer job, but rather invest in their education.
Caroline, thanks so much for sharing that with us. And let's go next to Mike in Madison. Hi, Mike.
Hi. Yes, I was working for a company here in Madison. It's a very large telecom firm with cable, the own cable companies. And one of the things that they did on a fairly regular practice was to hire, didn't hire them, but they brought in like 10 or a dozen interns to do their drafting underground wire in telecom. And with no intention of hiring them.
Mm-hmm.
They would give the promise, the carrot out there that if they did well, they'd hire them. And these kids would work there for 8 months, and they'd let them all go and maybe keep one, if that, and then they'd do it all over again, year after year.
Thanks for that call, Mike. And Derek, I think that maybe the idea behind internships has also changed over the years, because I think in an earlier generation, an internship was a foot in the door at a particular company where maybe you would end up working and maybe spending your whole career there. But it feels like more today it's getting a variety of experiences to put on your resume.
Yeah, that's fair. I think that, you know, certainly the internships for me were a way of, you know, testing out certain jobs and certain industries that I might be interested in. And none of my internships were actually in journalism, and I'm now a journalist. So it goes to show that you can sample from parts of the buffet that you don't commit to. I'm mixing all sorts of metaphors here, so I apologize. But I should have thought about it a little before the call. But I think this is exactly right. I do think that there is a bit of an ethical question, however, when it comes to unpaid internships, because what's essentially happening is that, yes, it is sort of standing in for education, and that's a nice thing. It's giving someone access to a position they might not have access to if that company had to pay them a wage. They might just choose not to have the unpaid internship. But at the same time, there are lots of unpaid internships that are essentially work, right? The 19-year-old, the 22-year-old, maybe the 27-year-old is doing work for that company, but the company has managed to brand what used to be a job as an unpaid internship, where the compensation is merely the beneficial experience to that individual's a future career. And that strikes me as a little bit problematic and a little bit unfair, because often you have what should be salaried jobs, paid jobs, being turned into unpaid internships. So, you know, from the student's perspective, I think it's smart to rack up as much experience as they can afford and as they can manage into their schedule. But I also think that it might be better both for individual students and employers and employees if some of these unpaid internships were merely paid positions.
We're taking your calls at 800-642-1234, talking about summer jobs and the various reasons why young people are not working in the summers as much now as they used to. Shelley on Facebook said, I work in a high school. We have a lot of kids here all summer long for athletic camps and summer school. Too much pressure for some of them. And, you know, Derek, that brings up an interesting point. Is there something to be said for kind of a mindless summer job? You mentioned like scooping ice cream or, you know, something like that. Maybe giving your brain a break during those summer months.
Sure. When it comes to, you know, suggesting what tens of millions of teenagers should do over the summer, my default position here is pretty laissez-faire. I think they should do what they want, and often, I suppose I should add, they should listen to their parents, if there are parents who are listening into the call, hoping that I'm not giving away too much authority to their teenagers. But essentially what I'm saying is I don't want to give a blanket piece of advice for tens of millions of people I don't know. For some of them, it absolutely makes sense to work to supplement their family's income. For other families, which don't really need supplemental income from their 16-year-olds, it might make the most sense to go to summer school or take an internship that's going to expose them to some industry that they're somewhat curious in. And yet for others who are lucky enough to travel, they should take up that experience and see the world, and it should, you know, broaden their horizons and inform their perspective. There are lots of different experiences that teenagers have and lots of different family circumstances that play into the decision of what they should do for these 3 months. But I think that the so-called right answer should probably be decided at a level more local and intimate than I can provide sitting here talking to you on the phone.
Well, and here's an interesting aspect that you brought up in your article, that one of the reasons that teens aren't getting summer jobs is cultural. And what I find interesting about that is that shifts when you look at there being many fewer teens who are working. Tell us about that cultural component.
Yeah, it's tough to write about culture sometimes from an economic perspective, because there aren't great numbers when it comes to social influence. These are things that often have to be proved in social psychology studies rather than observed in government data. But it just sort of makes sense. Let's think of it this way. It's the 1970s. Let's say it's the 1970s, and I'm a 15-year-old college freshman, and I see that all the cool upperclassmen are scooping ice cream at, you know, Bob's ice cream shop right down the street. What am I going to look forward to when I'm a junior or a senior? I'm going to look forward to scooping ice cream. That's what all the cool kids are doing. I'm going to look forward to doing that summer job. But now let's fast forward 40 years and imagine that, again, I'm a 15-year-old freshman, and what are all the cool kids who are upperclassmen doing with their summers? Well, they're actually taking ethics. They're taking this ethics class, and they're, you know, having fun in this ethics class and, you know, talking to girls in this ethics class. What am I going to want to do as that 15-year-old freshman? I'm going to want to take that ethics class. Teenagers are unbelievably susceptible to peer pressure and social influence, and they want to do that which they perceive as being cool. And so I think it's important to note that some of these economic changes that might be dissuading, you know, 17-year-olds and 18-year-olds from working in the same ice cream shops that they used to work in, they have trickle-down effects and amplification effects as younger people see, oh, I understand now the right thing to do isn't to work, it's to study. And so I merely mean in this section where I began to talk about culture, that culture can amplify economic effects because young teenagers mimic older teenagers.
And Kelsey on Facebook left a comment. I worked all through middle and high school. When I went to college and was able to just focus on my studying, I was shocked at how thin I'd stretched myself and how stressed I'd been from 12 to 18 years old. Is it so bad if teenagers aren't working these days?
No, I don't think it's necessarily so bad. I think that investing in your education is just fine. You know, it might be bad if, let's say, nobody was scooping ice cream, that there were all, you know, millions of consumers who, you know, wanted Rocky Road ice cream, and you had workers refusing to scoop it for whatever reason. You know, that would be bad. But that's not the case. You know, you go to ice cream shops, and there are people behind the counter. They just might be a little bit older. They might be older than might be in their 20s. They might be, you know, immigrants, or they might be people over 50. They could be all, you know, all sorts of ages. But the point is that the fact that that summer job opportunity has gone away for teenagers doesn't mean the job has disappeared. So I think it's important to note that in many ways the story of teenagers and summer jobs is sort of a happy story about an adaptable economy.
And we'll have to leave it there. Derek, thanks so much for being with us today. That was Derek Thompson, senior editor for The Atlantic magazine.